Hi, everyone. My name is Josh Nason. This is Josh Nason's Punch-Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. I was not expecting to come to you on this Thursday with this show. I was expecting to a different show, which will now come next week. I'll explain that at a different time. However, it's not every day that Hulk Hogan passes away. The Hulkster passing away, 71 years old. And by serendipity, I had a guest scheduled for today, two guests actually, to talk about something completely different, which is their upcoming comedy show during SummerSlam weekend. That being Jack Encarnacio and JP Saro of The Lapsed Fan. So what we do? We talked about Hulk Hogan for about 45 minutes. These guys obviously had quite a history with talking about the legacy of Hulk Hogan. Lots more to come on that. This show came 2 hours after the news of Hogan's passing. So yeah, so Jack, JP, and I talked about Hulk Hogan and everything around everything for about 45 minutes or so. And then we talk about this comedy show they have coming up during SummerSlam weekend in New York City, why they're doing it, why now, and so on and so forth. Some good information there. But I think you'd enjoy us a lot. These guys do it better than anyone else. And you'll even hear some Lapsed Vince if you're a fan of that. And I guarantee it'll make you laugh. So laugh, cry, listen, all the good stuff with JP and Jack from The Lapsed Fan talking about the passing and the legacy and the convoluted past of Hulk Hogan here on Josh Nason's Punch-Out. Here we go right now. Well, gentlemen, what a day. What a day. We're going to talk about this comedy show, which we will talk about. The Lapsed Fan guys are here, Jack and JP, once again. And we're going to talk about, of course, their show coming up during SummerSlam weekend, freshly announced. And chatting all about that for those people heading to SummerSlam or not and just want to get some comedy on Sunday, August 3rd. Head to the Big City. We'll talk about that. However, as we record this, Thursday at 2:06 p.m. Eastern, the Hulkster's dead, brother. I came home from the gym, was talking to a guy doing some work on the house real quick, and I came back in and checked my phone, and a separate text from any wrestling fans I know were just like, oh, Hulk Hogan died. I'm like, what? And I go to our Slack channel, and lo and behold, the Hulkster passing away, and what a fitting time, serendipitous for us to talk, because you guys have been... Honestly, Hulkster has been I was actually reading a tweet from the Lapsed Fan account. I'm laughing as I think about it. Talk again, the Hulk Hogan voice about, you know, what's a work and all this, brother, and all this stuff. And I hear it in your guys' voices. And then like 3 hours later, this happens. And boy, what a serendipitous time to talk. I'll kick it over to you guys for thoughts. It's only you can give.
Well, so to say, we should have started recording at 3:03. That would have been fitting. But nonetheless,
well, not by the 206 time you got is to- fine. Well, that's the Turner wait.
That's a good point.
Yeah, we just, you know, we saw the same things everyone else did about Bubba, the Love Sponge, which is what how poetic is it that he ended up being the oracle of truth around Hulk Hogan's true condition.
What a strange fucking time. What is going on? I just don't understand anything. I don't.
It's so we were like, you know, I don't know about Hulk this year. Like, I don't know if he's going to make it. What haven't we done in our catalog of 10 years of shows that is really a key seminal Hulk Hogan moment? Bash at the Beach 94. And we did it.
Which is coincidentally, given that we had done just, you know, when we started The Lapsed Fan, we never even thought about doing tribute shows. You know, we never thought about the fact that when somebody dies, we should do a tribute. It just was not obviously on the radar. We didn't even know what we were doing. We were just kind of figuring it out. And so we had already done like WrestleMania 1 and WrestleMania 3 and all these things within, you know, by the time we realized that, wait a minute, you know, at some point Hulk Hogan is going to die and we're going to need to do something about it. And so it was like, curiously, just this show had been kind of put off on the radar. We had talked about it years ago as being just a show we're going to hold off, you know, when the time comes and Hulk Hogan and, you know, Hulkamania truly dies, we're going to, you know, this is probably the best show to do. And, you know, that's what we call lap serendipity right there. That it all kind of happened at that moment.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and day, you know, yeah, good.
The day the work died, you know, but the work's just begun in so many ways as it regards sating the Hulkster. Yeah, JP makes an excellent point. And I think this doesn't just apply to our podcast, but it's anybody who's been a wrestling fan and came of age in the late 80s and early 91, the Hasbro generation and the LJN generation. Look, 10 years ago when we first started doing this, and when a lot of the people listening probably started following wrestling online or whatever, you don't come to terms with the fact that you're of the age where you're going to start losing all these guys. We didn't set out to do tribute shows in mind because Piper was still alive, because Dusty was still alive, because Howard Finkel and Scott Hall were still alive, because we still had Bruno Sammartino walking around, and Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior and John Tenta.
Now Warrior was dead.
Brother. But you want me to keep going? The point is, the death of Hulk Hogan reminds us of our own age,
Oh,
because
yeah.
anybody who's listening to vintage wrestling stuff on a podcast, anybody who's a subscriber of any tenure to Dave's newsletter, orients their sense of moving through time and space with that of Hulk Hogan, because he brought so many people to the table. And the people that came before he did, as far as wrestling fans, they're gone, or they're in retirement homes. I think that's part of what hits so hard about this, is it's like, yeah, we have now outlived Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan's always been the backdrop to so much of what we've gone to in our minds on first reference when we think about professional wrestling, and not just us as fans, but people who just walk the streets and barely know anything about pro wrestling. Immediately think of Hulk Hogan when you bring up pro wrestling. You're only going to lose someone of that stature in this American culture. It's a Santo in Mexico, it's a Ricky Dozan in Japan, perhaps an Inoki, but here we've lost that figure, that shortcut to all that wrestling is. It's best and it's worst. We were just talking today about this, JP and I, and Hulk Hogan defined what Hulk Hogan means in the second half of his life as much as he did in the first, after he was done in the ring, when he could barely walk, when he's broken down, when his family fell apart, when his wife started sending wild, wild Instagram stories crying about his whole situation, when Brooke stopped talking to him, when Bubba the Love Sponge goes from his absolute best friend, Uncle Bubba, to somebody who, ended up going through the court ringer. He wins the Gawker lawsuit. Like, after his in-ring career was over, Josh, with the stuff that built us all up as people that want to follow this guy, that's when things really just started to get sort of illustrative about who Hulk Hogan was and is. So obviously the mind goes in a million different directions on news like this.
Yeah, the thought I had, so it's interesting you talk about kind of thinking about our own mortality. It's, in the news business, you think about the day that when Vince dies,
Of course.
how that's going to go. It was so many different aspects and so on. And then when Ric Flair passes away, and when obviously Hogan, that I mean that's kind of your big three right now. And it's we've seen, and so far we're only a couple hours into this. So the tributes, are starting to come out on social, but it is mostly from retired wrestlers and people that it's very few, if any, modern day. As like TNA put something out, and Carlos Silva, their president, who probably I think just to do something. Charlotte Flair wrote something after her dad did. Andrade did. But as of this point, like I haven't seen anything from AEW Tony Khan, which again, it's kind of this question, would they do something? If this had happened yesterday, one of our editors and I were talking, what would they have done? I think they would have just done a quick hit, Excalibur, Tony Schiavone at the desk, doing a quick thing leading into a commercial, and that's it. But a lot of the modern stars have not chimed in at all. And I think the silence is deafening in this case. And I think a lot of this, some of the things that you mentioned, if not all the things you mentioned, is this run from, I mean, 2018, whatever the date is that you mentioned, this run with all these things that happen really shaped his legacy for so many people. And there's like this split of the people that before that and the people that are after that. And for a lot of us, I'm 47, we're not so far the same off the same age. It is this like it's a it, it thing of just like it is a it's all of it. You with him, you just kind of had to take all of it, and how you come down on it is how you come down on it. Polarizing is probably the best way to say it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a very hard it's a weird thing because there is this more modern part of Hulk Hogan who is just not very who just wasn't a very good person in many
Yeah.
ways. He
Yeah.
just was kind of backwards in a lot of his views, said a lot of stupid things, just was not like, he tainted any fan's view of him. And with his racist remarks, with the sex tape, with all sorts of shit, that's just like, this is, wait a minute, supposed to be Hulk Hogan. He's supposed to be the good guy of all, to end all good guys. And but at the same time, when Jack and I were talking earlier today, I mean, it's funny too, you mentioned the big three. We listed that exact same big three on
Yeah, he
our
just said the same thing
call.
an hour ago. I was like,
Exactly.
was Josh on the call? I don't
I
remember
know,
that.
right? Because we were like, there are three, even as we've come of age and we are like realizing, oh, these guys are going to go. There are three you can't imagine living without ever, no matter the fact that that they're getting to that age. Hogan, Flair, and Vince McMahon. Again, despite what you think of them, despite their, some of their just absolutely deplorable actions and whatnot, it's like these are three figures that if you're a wrestling fan, you just cannot imagine your life without. And it's a very, I try to look at it too as not just the fact that it's a human being who died, and it's sad in that regard. And but it is a very it's it does make me think about mortality. I think a lot about it lately. In the last maybe, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, I've been thinking a lot about legacy. And in terms of, especially as we live in the era we live in, we think of like wrestling on television, we think of movies, we think of television itself, all sorts of the current media that has really been the forefront of our news, of our entertainment, of all these things. And it's like we're still at the baby stages. Like so much of the stuff is like 100 years old, 150 years old. When you think about the life of the planet, and you think about the life, hopefully, hope to God, of the future of the planet, it's like, I wonder, it makes me wonder, in 1,000 years, are people going to be thinking about Hulk Hogan as people thought about Shakespeare? Sure, certainly not in that regard. It's a very, very drastic difference.
But in
But
terms of cultural
wrestling fans,
impact.
in terms, exactly. And in terms of wrestling fans too, are wrestling fans 1,000 years from now going to be looking back and saying, hey, God, I wish I was there, to see Hulk Hogan body slam Andre the Giant. That's their Macbeth or their Hamlet or whatever, like
If ever there
it's a
was a
fascinating
death
thing.
justifying that level of thought, it'd be Hogan's, because if Hogan doesn't count, no one counts in that regard. 1,000 years from now, who's to say? But I'll say here and now. I'm sitting here. Why has mortality come up so much? And it hit me. He was the immortal Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yeah, you're damn right.
How many times did he say he was immortal? He's not immortal. And we talk about this all the time, Josh. I'm sure we've talked about it with you before, but this is one of the things that we've really landed on in terms of, lapsed fans, people don't know. We don't just review old events and put them in historical context and do imitations and have a ton of fun. We also spend a lot of time trying to figure out why it is that pro wrestling has such a hold on us. Why it is that, we can call ourselves lapsed and get these legions of people to listen to us, many of whom proclaim to no longer care about pro wrestling, yet they're willing to spend hours and hours and hours and hours listening to and patronizing a podcast about it. And we're not the only ones, I mean, it's a whole category of podcast that says something about the wrestling fan. And I think one of the things that we're coming around to realizing is it's like, we as wrestling fans don't get to have immortal heroes like fans of Superman or Spider-Man or Batman or even some of the, because they're fictionalized in a way that, legendary athletes are not fictionalized. And you lose them in the flesh and blood. Hulk Hogan was rushed out of his condominium today, strapped to a gurney with EMTs frantically trying to revive him. And that's the death of Hulk Hogan. It's not just the death of Terry Bollea.
I think too, people, it's not like, I'm sure that there are people who do this, but when you, I'm getting it is the weirdest day,
Oh, so
just
many
getting
texts
random
today.
texts from people who I haven't talked to in a
That's
while,
another one
and
too,
just
yeah.
all things. It's like, oh my, my friend just wrote, how you holding up?
Brother. I just kicked out, if that's what you mean, dude.
Actually get the final three count. But you know, it's like it's funny that, you know, they treat it like it's a relative who died, like as if I'm, you know, as if I'm planning a funeral now all of a sudden.
I don't
Shoot, I
want to
lost my train of
sidetrack you.
thought.
I don't want to
But what were
sidetrack
you?
you anyway. But to the point, you're going to get a text when your favorite baseball player dies from this many people? Probably
No,
not. Are
never.
you good?
But
Because that's the thing about wrestling fandom is you are, and that's why community can be built around reflecting on what it means to be a wrestling fan, because you are the wrestling fan in your life. You are the person that everybody knows likes that shit. And in times like this, they think about you.
And I remember now. I remember. So the thing I am sure that there aren't as many people who go back and watch recordings of old Super Bowls as there are wrestling fans who go back and watch old wrestling pay-per-views, old WrestleManias, old Starrcades, old Great American Bashes, whatever. There is a comic book
Yes.
feel about it that, you know, you
Yes.
can kind of say to yourself, brother, what?
That's a
Dog, dude.
concerning thing
That's a
when
very
you lose
concerning thing.
Hogan and something behind you is creeping up like that. I guess we didn't lose him, did we?
Again, there's always going to be, listen, Hulk Hogan is going to be always there sneaking up behind a lot of people. You know, there is like a feeling of something finished when an athlete finishes their career. It's over. You know, it's done. There is something finished about it. And you're not going to potentially see them play again. They're not going to play again. They're done. And their games will live in your memory. And sure, you can find them on TV, but it's not going to be like what wrestling fans do, where we can go back and watch the day-to-day things, like the every week of television. We can watch all these things, and it's like there it continues to live. It's a blessing and a curse. And I think this is why it can affect people, wrestling fans, in a greater sense, because it is like watching, you know, they've made them up in the 80s. They made them up to be superheroes. They made
They
them up
did.
to be comic book characters. They made them up to be larger than life, and in a way symbolic of things that you either hope to be or hope to attain or whatever. And what they didn't realize is that, or maybe they did, or they didn't care, or whatever, that these symbols are going to die. These symbols are going to leave us, and it's going to hit in a different way to wrestling fans than it's going to be to somebody, you know, a more traditional legit athlete or an actor or whomever. Like it's a bizarre thing because that they tried so hard to bridge that, you know, the reality and fiction, you know, because for so long there was this like, wait a minute, you know, is it real? Is it fake? Da, da, da. And so when they're trying to make you believe something's fake, that
That was real.
again, it's real, you know, now it's real. And it's such a bizarre, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
I think one thing too, you mentioned kind of the comparison to pro athletes. Once an athlete's career is done, they're done. Like they're not gonna come. They'll be around. And I mean, I think of like, you know, like David Ortiz, for example. He retired, he's not gonna come back and play. So he does his appearances and things like that. But with a character, right, like a Hulk Hogan or a, you know, any of your favorite actors, any of these types of stuff, other wrestlers, there's always a chance they can do something, and not necessarily a full match, but a moment. There's a world in which Hogan doesn't do any of this terrible stuff, and he is part of Goldberg's retirement in a much bigger thing, coming out and having a moment. He has some sort of moment with John Cena at during his retirement, something where it's legends, and you're seeing it, and you're like, that makes me feel good. Now, that whole thing, I mean, again, the last time he came out was last year at a WWE show, and the big story is he got booed out of the building. We in Jimmy Hart and people, well,
Can't
just in
believe that's how it
LA.
ended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
If Jesse getting the final muscle of Hogan, I get out of here. I don't. Hey,
Hey,
It's
look at
me
that
or
Hulk
Hogan.
Hogan over there, that piece of trash, Hulk Hogan. Get out of here. The fans don't even want you here playing
I know you.
around, talking your beer.
I'm fully prepared to walk out, Paul, if he's going to be there, and I'm not afraid to say it. And so I think he got one back on Hogan for a 94 Bash at the Beach, where the second Hogan walks in, Jesse's disappearing rapidly from the WCW announce position. But they don't have the, these other athletes, to your point, Josh and JP, when they go into retirement. Ortiz is a weird example because he did get shot, so there was all kinds of that messiness. But for the most part, it's always in the
Brother,
news for that
what?
reason. For the most part, they fade away. We like to think with a degree of dignity, not a Pete Rose, but for the most part in wrestling, because their oxygen is attention, they're going to make mockeries of themselves to the grave in 90% of cases. And we celebrate tremendously when a wrestler dies without a ton of pathetic things having happened, pathetic final attempts to be in the spotlight, and just laying absolutely bare, if there was any doubt, that they are nowhere close to what they used to be or how we prefer to remember them. We're not going to think of, Ted Williams barely able to walk, for instance. But wrestlers,
Or deciding to change up his style and start using chairs and barbed wire baseball bats to the head,
right? Which
like
can
a
happen
Terry Funk.
in those
You
later
know,
years. Yes,
Teddy
the
Williams not
infamous.
doing that. At, he's
No,
not
he's
doing
not.
that. That would have been interesting, though. I would have paid to see that.
I mean, Terry. And all the things he said over the years about the difference between Terry Bollea and Hulk Hogan and their relative penis size on the
I mean, it
stand.
makes me wonder, is one or the other still alive? Is Hulk Hogan dead or is Terry Bollea dead? We don't know.
I think that's what we're
Are
here
both
to.
dead? Are both dead or both,
I
you
think
know?
both are dead. Yeah,
Okay.
I'm sure people are tweeting Hulkamania will live forever and all that, but I don't think so. I don't think so, especially because what you said, Josh, it is so impolitic to say positive things about him today. Like, they just can't, they can't do it. They can't bring themselves to do it, even if they feel positively about the guy. He's the ultimate separate the art from the artist for the wrestling fan. And I'm not sure, it didn't do him any, what it cost him, it cost him so much, that FBI wiretap. But what it probably cost him more than anything is people feeling free to celebrate him upon his death. And of all the wrestlers we've seen, you would think he'd be the one guy that could enjoy that privileged air, but no, not to be.
It is fast because I'm all about people being held accountable for their actions. I'm all about people being whether or not they said things way back when or whatever. I don't think they should be held to that, per se, all the time. I know that his stuff is more current and it's more lasting, but I do recall him fondly. I don't mind celebrating. I don't celebrate the man. I celebrate the idea of Hulk Hogan. I don't celebrate Terry Bollea. Terry Bollea, yeah, there's an issue there for sure. But I do celebrate what I liked about Hulk, what I loved about Hulk Hogan. I mean, I can say, honest to God, going through ups and downs of Hulk Hogan fandom, being a fan of Stone Cold Steve Austin, appreciating Ric Flair as being one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, I can say without a doubt, my all-time favorite, no question, Hulk Hogan. He was. He just was.
He
Because
made
he's
it
the
matter. He
one,
made it matter.
exactly. He's the one that, he's the first action figure I bought. I bought my Series One Hulk Hogan body slam, Gorilla Press Slam, because it wasn't a Hulk. It was a Gorilla Press Slam, Hulk Hogan with Andre the Giant. First one. First one. I would not have become a fan had I not been fascinated. And I had never, I think about too, starting to watch wrestling in 1991. I don't even know how I became aware of Hulk Hogan, but I knew who Hulk Hogan was. I knew who he was.
And
And I,
that's what we're mourning too,
yeah, exactly.
is we are the action figure generation. The generation before us did not have them for every single thing they were into. There he is, brother, as he holds up the Hasbro red shirt mail away from WrestleMania 9 days. And the generation after us, these kids, post phone, smartphones, YouTube, forget it. They care about action figures for maybe 4 months. Our age group still supports the action figure industry today in our 40s. They make figures for us because they know we'll buy 12 of them to have a complete collection. They don't make action figures to catch kids' eyes on the toy sh shelf anymore. A, because there aren't toy stores anymore. And so we mourn We mourn the fact that Hulk Hogan and the way he was merchandised got us into so many things that are centerpieces of our childhood. You had a lunchbox, you had a toy, you had a bedspread, you had a bandana, you had a Halloween costume.
Lunchbox.
Yeah, lunchbox.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Not
Trapper
anymore.
Keeper.
Not anymore. Oh my God. Oh
Every
my
80s
God.
reference you want to make, there was Hogan on. And that was the thing.
Yeah.
The cartoon show, the Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling. You know, but that was just the whole package of just that here you go. And he's here now. And today he's not. I was thinking so much as you're kind of going through stuff. How many different, I was thinking of asking him, you can't really ask him, what's your favorite Hulk Hogan moment or memory? Or I just think of how many different lives he had in terms of talking before everything went down. Like he had the WWE run. He had the which was, I mean, so many different runs within that. He then does the WCW run, and which includes the pre-NWO run and everything after that, and that whole ship went down. And then he went to TNA. He did that strange tour of Australia, and everything after it is such a long career, and so much of it was what happened after he was done. But just so many memorable things in each, and so many things you're just associated with just this is great and this is terrible and everything in between. And he, were so many wrestlers that come in the business and are never remembered, or they even get to the biggest stage and they're like nostalgic remember for like a few seconds. This is someone that actually for millions and millions of people mattered, and he was a crossover star, and even in just in business itself, just he kept trying to reclaim that, and he just never, he was still the name, but just never the name. And just that's really astonishing to think about right now.
He's always he always wanted to be on top in the wrestling business, even when he should have been able to move on from the wrestling business. We just in covering 1994 and Bash at the Beach, we really honed in on that. Like he's out there in his final WWF promos for that August 1993 European tour against Yokozuna. He's, you know, this is only aired on UK television, but it's on YouTube. He's in the event center talking. He's listing all of the things that he's doing after WWF trying to interest the fans. Well, Mr. Nanny coming out, Thunder in Paradise. All of these things, you know, didn't really hit. But, you know, I think he wasn't in a position to give up on being Hulk Hogan. He wasn't in a position to say, all right, well, movies weren't the thing. Let me find another, perhaps more dignified way to ride off into the sunset. Maybe it is
Mean,
what Vince was saying around being the Babe Ruth figure.
I think also too, I think in a, you know, he had such a defined look. I think that also played into that. You know, we've talked about that a lot. Like you go see, if you go see, if you see a Hulk Hogan movie, you can't forget the fact that you're looking at Hulk Hogan. It's Hulk Hogan. John Cena, he's more generic. You can watch John Cena play characters. You can
Batista.
watch The Rock, Batista, especially now, Batista, now that he's shed all that weight. He's like, you know, you can see him playing other people. Hulk Hogan, even when he lost all the weight, even when he was in 94 WCW, he's still Hulk Hogan. Like you cannot, he cannot. He could not get away from that image, no matter how hard he tried. And whenever you see a Hulk Hogan, like, you know, and listen, he even tried in The Ultimate Weapon, one of the worst movies, but one of his movies and during the WCW period where he had on like a hair piece. I mean, in Center with Muscles, the same thing. He had these hair pieces on. He's still Hulk Hogan. Bald, not bald, doesn't matter. He's
Yeah,
still
mustache,
like,
no must. Remember, what mustacheless?
yeah, mustache. It doesn't matter. He was cursed with that. There was no way he could ever transition to a legitimate movie career or anything because he embodies the character of Hulk Hogan.
Part of the reason the sex tape was such a huge thing was not just because there was a celebrity sex tape. There have been a bunch of those. It's because how funny is it that Hulk
Yes.
Hogan is on a sex tape?
Yes.
Not to make light of the trauma it caused his family, although he certainly made out in the end, which is one of his last successful manipulations was getting that Gawker settlement. But the fact that it's Hulk Hogan is exactly it is like you
That was all
find
that
out
mattered.
that,
That was all that
right.
mattered. Like it was the fact that Hulk Hogan had a sex tape. It didn't matter. It could have been anybody, but it what mattered was that it was Hulk Hogan.
Like telling me that Wolverine has a sex tape, you know?
Right. Exactly. That's exactly it.
I also just remembered there was the reality show aspect. Hogan Knows Best.
That's all where it all comes from.
Yeah, and he did the also he tried, you know, Hulk Hogan's Celebrity Championship Wrestling. Do you remember that?
This is him feeling around in the dark for something other than headlining a wrestling show.
Yeah, and that was the show that was how really starved we were for wrestling on TV at that point, which is impossible to believe as I look at a calendar where every single night there's something. Is then it was like it was WWE and TNA and Indies, and that's it. Like there was nothing. I
Post
mean,
WCW.
yeah, you couldn't get anything on TV, and that was like, okay, we'll watch Todd Bridges try this out, you know, and Danny Bonaduce and all this, and that was like, okay, we'll check this out, and people actually watched it. But but yeah, the Hogan Knows Best thing, and yeah, I mean, yeah, the whole legacy with his family is such a like, so many different chapters and things he did here to here to here, and you know, this real American wrestling thing. I don't think anyone really took this seriously, and I doubt its future is that strong based on Eric Bischoff and Izzy Martinez. It was
Well,
struggling
they
beforehand.
had Ben Askren, but bless him, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I
Look at all
mean,
this strangeness around that project, huh?
I assume Kurt Angle is probably going to move into some sort of role just to try to
Yep.
salvage it, and just because but he's not what they wanted in terms of a familiar face in Hogan, which part of that too is this last kind of thing of him appearing at the Republican National Convention,
Yeah, COVID.
and he's been, you know, very celebrated by that side today.
It became
And
like a business plan when Wyatt Henriksen upset Gable Steveson and
yeah.
Trump was there and
Yeah.
Hogan, at least Hogan, to hear him tell it in the early promotional tour of this Real American Wrestling thing, saw that and saw the spark of a moment that could actually be like a touring attraction for that part of the country that, you know, it just celebrated, you know, tremendously that Trump went to the NCAA finals or that he goes to a UFC or whatever the case may be. Yeah, and
Yeah.
that's part of why it's kind of like muted, I think, right now is it's like, he also he just wherever that spotlight goes, he's even if he can't walk, he's gonna find it, you know, and try his best. And it's kind of sad. You look you could, because we always say this about Hulk Hogan on Lapsed Fan. If ever there was a pro wrestler who should have been able to retire with dignity, it should have been Hulk Hogan, because no one made more money, no one became a more mainstreamed, mainlined celebrity in this country, and it just went to shit.
I
I
mean,
mean,
that
it's.
it's so true. I mean, that's the thing. Like you would think out of everybody, you really would think out of everybody, given the success he had, given everything. Like you even given the fact that he negotiated this incredible deal with WCW, where he's making really more money off of every damn thing that he shouldn't even been touching. You really think that after WCW went done, maybe he had his last WWE run, but then after that, he's like, you know what? That's it. Like you'd think that's it. He rode off into the sunset. You know, after WrestleMania 19, he can just ride off into the sunset. He beat Vince McMahon in the middle of the ring. He can ride off into the sunset and just call it a life. But no,
But now the
he's gonna.
reality show comes knocking, and Brooke Tini's got to be a star. Which, you know, look what I mean. God bless her, but I mean, what was that all about? The
No.
damage that was caused because Hogan decided the reality show vehicle was the best way to get Brooke to become a pop star, and now she wasn't. She doesn't even want people to even remember that she tried to do that. That's how painful it all turned out to be. And we talked about comic book characters before, and how much more akin to comic book characters pro wrestlers are, especially ones like Hulk Hogan, than athletes. A big part of the reason we feel that way in our generation is because Vince didn't stop until they looked like they were in comic books from a physique standpoint. And you grow up and you learn, and we did the trial of his life. We read every word of the trial transcript. We did a whole series called TNH where we looked at those fateful years from 2010 to 2012, where or 2013, where Hogan just ran roughshod and kind of showed us just how kind of sad the second half of his life is really going to be. You look at that and you're like, my God, it was built on steroids. That whole thing that caught our imagination that wrestlers can be more comic book characters than professional athletes. The thing we're mourning here today is made possible by all that dirtiness.
I mean, think about him hulking up. That's total comic book stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, that's Popeye
Never
eating a
dying.
spinach.
Yep.
You know, the idea that even when he's down and out, you know, he's going to have one last surge of energy and he's going to conquer evil. I mean, I mean, it's such an extreme thing, but we
Say
were lied to our
it.
whole lives.
Well,
Lied to.
it was one of many runs that Hulk had in him. You know, one of his big sayings was always, "Life is a bunch of series of runs." And just when you think you're like, "Okay, this is the Hulk Hogan, that's the pure Hulk Hogan," in his mind, it's one of 30 runs he's going to go on just to collect a few more million.
Yep.
And it was a bottomless pit. It was a bottomless pit. His beat shop, his his cheeseburgers in the fucking frozen food aisle during
Oh
TNA.
my
He had Hulk
God.
Hogan
Oh my
cheeseburger. I mean, what are
God.
we doing? Hulk Hogies per se?
Pastamania.
Pastamania?
Yep.
None. And he just ended up making a mockery of it.
JP, I hate to put you on the spot like this.
Oh boy. Do it.
Are you able to access Twitter right now? Could you look up Vince McMahon's Twitter? He
Oh
just put
boy.
out a
I'm glad
statement.
we're going to get live reaction. This is going to,
That
oh boy.
I mean,
This
this is
is
kind
for
of what I'm
everybody.
hoping for. Yeah. It's not a long, not a long one, but if
No,
you get
it'll
prepared.
be. Oh my God.
Can you share what the
The
chairman has on his
world
mind?
lost a treasure today. Hulk Hogan was the greatest WWE superstar of all time, someone who was loved and admired around the world. He was a trailblazer, the first performer who transitioned from being a wrestling star into a global phenomenon. His grit and unbridled thirst for success were unparalleled, and made him the consummate performer. He gave everything he had to the audience, whom he appreciated, respected, and loved. He leaves us with one of his favorite expressions: train, take your vitamins, and say your prayers. Today, we pray for him.
Thank you, Vince.
Oh my God.
The first
Is
performer
this
who
the same Vince?
transitioned from a
Yeah.
wrestling star into a global phenomenon. I don't know if
Well,
anyone's really transitioned to being a global phenomenon, but that's fine.
yeah, I mean, if
That's
he
a
transitioned to being
very
a global phenomenon, shouldn't he, be sitting much prettier than he was there at the end?
Doesn't that make him kind of some kind of, I don't know, like a geographical object or something? Isn't that kind of
Well,
more of a global, like, is he a sphinx?
Oz is a geographical area. I told Sullivan, I said, look. So, all right. Is this the same Vince who we just watched go on Czech Kopic when he jumped to WCW and rip Hulk Hogan to shreds as some guy who never had abs and somebody who, it betrayed him? And listen to what he had to say about Hulk in the Netflix doc if you want more on that front. As far as, and of course they got back together to some degree. But again, it's just chasing that run. Tremendous to see Vince put that out. Now,
I should
Vince, I
say,
would
by the
like.
way, you should see it, by the way. I just want to, so many of the top comments, like the more recent comments, are
You're
pictures of
next.
Goldberg saying, "You're next. You're next."
Oh my
Oh my
cannot
God.
lose sight of it. And if Rick goes, we hope he doesn't, but if Rick goes for Vince, that another
Ooh.
huge overarching narrative here is that, you step to Vince and you will be in the grave before he will be in the grave. You will
Obviously,
all die.
the debate can be settled now. I made Hulkamania.
What was the question, Vince? What was, I'm sure in a time like this, you think back to your steroid trial and Hulk taking the stand on behalf of the US government. Hulk felt he did you a tremendous solid. And this is not fair. Being able to see his face, this is not fair. Okay. A tremendous solid, right? And not stipulating to you playing a
Do
prep, a more
it.
active role in him procuring anabolic steroids. But now, upon his passing, you seem to have much warmer feelings. Can you talk about why it is that you'd celebrate Hulk Hogan despite having such a up and down relationship with him over the years? Is it just in you're just being more reflective in your old age, or is what's going on there?
Well, in these times, you think about all aspects of an individual. You kind of go to where they began, where they ended up, and all areas in between. But that notwithstanding, here we stand with a world that is now at a loss of a Hulk Hogan. There is no Hulk Hogan anymore. Hulk Hogan is gone. Hulk Hogan is dead. Hulk Hogan is buried. Hulk Hogan is no more. It's almost as if there never was a Hulk Hogan,
Right.
which means it's almost as if there never was a trial for Vince McMahon in 1994. And I prefer to see it that way. That right now, this is finally the ultimate example of case closed. Hulk Hogan is gone. Therefore, his testimony no longer exists. Therefore, once again, I am exonerated. I am acquitted.
And I
And I
am the
never went to trial. And I am.
and I am the President of the United States of America.
And I am.
Oh
And I am.
my God.
At
Say
least in the office of the
it.
President of the United States of America at all times. And I am America. An Americana. An American.
The
I am in a real, I am a real American.
real American. Emphasis on con. You can put your camera back on now.
Oh,
We laugh.
shit.
We laugh,
Know.
because even though, like I told JP earlier, I know I want to, but it don't help to hide. So here I am.
Any final thoughts before we talk some comedy? More comedy.
Yeah, right, more comedy. I mean, we should know by now. We put a live show up on the calendar and something consequential. I mean, remember they sold WWE the night before we did the LA show? What the fuck is
The
going on here?
whole fucking rewrite of the whole goddamn show that time. Jesus.
Oh, so you know what's going to happen. Vince is going on Saturday, August 2nd,
Oh,
or in the morning of the 3rd.
don't even say it, man. It's going to
Oh,
happen.
God. So, yeah. So, originally, you two were booked to talk about, as I'm wiping tears away. It's a good advertisement for that show. So, Sunday,
There you go.
August 3rd. So, last time you guys were on, we had talked about the Dark Side of the Ring series and a bunch of our stuff. We talked about, if people want to go back in the archives and listen to that, we talked about why you didn't decide to go to WrestleMania in Las Vegas and so on and so forth.
Yes.
And now you're back for more cash. You're heading to New York City, Times Square at the Comedy Village, 352 West 44th Street, Sunday, August 3rd, during SummerSlam weekend, noon. I almost said noon Eastern. Yes, noon Eastern. I said noon Eastern, and then Pacific entered my mind, and my brain just broke.
No,
So
high noon in the East, baby.
that's right.
Yep,
High
local
noon.
time only around here.
So why now? And what's going on? Tell me all the details. The dish.
Bat signal went up. Bat signal went up. Co-chairmen are needed. There's a club that wants to capitalize on, all of the energy that the biggest two-night SummerSlam in history will create. And so, there was we had relationships with folks that manage this club, and they booked us up. We kind of batted around a rough idea of maybe doing SummerSlam instead of a WrestleMania because it's more proximate to us and therefore makes more economic sense. It's hard to even break even going all the way over there to Vegas with the prices and everything. But this made a ton of sense. We're happy. Nice light lift. We got a ton of fans in and around the area that it's convenient to get to. Of course,
No
several have
real
booked
travel.
flights.
No real
Right.
travel for us. It's very, very easy.
They're coming from far and wide. And wouldn't you know it, and this is up on our feed, we end up getting acquainted with the guy who runs the club. And he was a huge WWF fan in New York
Oh,
City
yeah.
and Queens in the 70s. And, Sunnyside, Queens, of course, Sunnyside Gardens, a very evocative part of New York City for wrestling fans. And we'll get to talking to him. And sure enough, he goes, "Hey, do you guys remember that black ring announcer guy? He used to come around the neighborhood and he used to stack us up in the station wagon and take us to the garden. And one time, several times, he asked us to put our feet in his crotch
Oh
when he was
my
sitting."
God.
I mean, this is the kind of thing that happens.
Just,
This is the kind of thing that happens. And this guy and his friends were shepherded to MSG by Mel Phillips many, many, many times in the 70s. And he was just like, he was amazed that this is like a scandal and that everybody knows this guy in the wrestling world. And there's been lawsuits and everything. And
He had
he was
no
just,
idea.
he didn't know
Wow.
it was a big international news story.
Unreal.
I don't know how he missed it, honestly. It's crazy, but yeah, he had no clue, and it's shocking and appalling, honestly. And he, I mean, I give him credit. We both give him credit, honestly, because he's a comedian. He's able to make light of it
Yeah, and
as
he
much as
handles
one
it
can. And
perfectly. Yeah.
but man, when you really think about just kind of what went down, it's horrifying.
So
Horrifying,
that's
honestly.
the kind of thing that comes up when we go to New York City
Exactly.
to do a wrestling podcast. There goes the neighborhood, just steps from where they tried their restaurant. I'm going to do this one for the live Tuesday night SmackDown satellite broadcast they used to do there and the body slam wings or whatever the fuck they used to serve. I did go there once and ate there once, but there goes the neighborhood. We're in Times Square, and it's where, like Vince said about them at the time, it's where we belong in the middle of it all. And we're very much looking forward to it, and would love anybody within the sound of our voice who's in the area to give us a try if you don't know a lot about us. I think our live show really puts a very fine point on what it is to listen to the lapsed fan. The voices will be there. Lapsed Vince will be there. I'm sure he'll have a ton to say. I'm sure the gathered lapsed masses will like to just have a candlelit session for Hogan now.
I'm sure that
You've
there
got to
will
do
be.
it.
And listen, if there's one thing I can say is that, fortunately for the lapsed fan, lapsed Hogan does live forever.
Lapsed Hogan
So.
and just all the peccadilloes we picked up on, and just the how bizarre it is that we went in on him when we did, in terms of the timing of his passing, and just over the years, all the things that we've decided to do around him and his life and times. It's all in the archives, and it's just going to come bursting out in the days and weeks and months to come. I mean, we've got to hit a hard stop here and really think about what people expect of a podcast like ours in times like
I
this. And
know.
I'm sure across Wrestling Observer and all the other websites, they're thinking much the same thing. But in a lot of ways, it starts August 3rd, noontime, Comedy Village in Times Square, comedyvillage.com for your tickets. And we'd love to see you there. It's hard enough being a wrestling fan. The least you can do is be around other wrestling fans so you don't feel as pathetic.
So 30, what a sell job. 30,
It's true.
$35, very affordable
I agree. Two drink minimum too, so don't complain about that after you get to the doors. Or at least don't complain to us about
Listen, we're getting you ready for
it.
the second night of SummerSlam, so that's what you need. You need to start drinking that early if you're going to get through two nights of SummerSlam, the
That's a
biggest
great
two night
point.
SummerSlam of all time.
We're going to be talking about what happened on night one. We're going to be looking forward to night two. We've been all over the Cena heel turn
Looking
and why it
forward.
hasn't worked. Well, literally, I didn't mean like anticipating with excitement. I meant we're just previewing it. And that's what we've tried to do. The first time we did this in LA, we did go right after the end of night two and just sat there and told people that's what you get for thinking Cody was going to win and everything like that. And Vince wished everybody well in their future endeavor as Endeavor closed the deal. And we were in Philly, of course, 2 years ago around WrestleMania, and Vince had a ton to say. I remember we had a draft at one point that predicted Hogan was going to go before Vince. We talked about that. Vince had a lot to say about how once they get to Netflix, lapsed Vince, of course, once they get to Netflix, we're going to start to see certain things fall off. We're going to start to feel a certain way about how effectively WWE is able to reach its customer base and build new fans when they're no longer putting their main flagship television show on traditional linear cable. And how basically everything he said is exactly what's happened as far as people watching the Netflix numbers that do get published and feeling a sense of reduced momentum. So many things he said came to fruition on that day. And the fact that he's not going anywhere, and the fact that the lawsuit won't put him down as he continues to form corporations. Lapsed Vince is your reality.
What lawsuit? There's no lawsuit.
Yeah,
The only
he's
suit
the main
that I
character.
have, the only suit that I have is the one that I wear every day.
The Sunday, August 3rd, the Comedy Village Times Square, the Laps Fan Podcast. Just over 2.5 hours of content for $35. Fans, as you heard, can expect it to be chided and dismissed in only the way that the Laps Fan can.
We let you look at yourself with a little bit of self-regard, like
Yeah.
we're trying to elevate things. It's not easy though.
Are there mirrors going to be mirrors in each table for fans to look at yourselves? Just what have you
If
done to get to this
not
point in your
that,
life?
just take out your phone and do a switch. Just look at
Yes, true.
yourself,
There
do
you go.
the flip the phone
We
and
talk
just look
about
at yourself.
serendipity. When we were in Philly, we're like getting ready and we're trying to get this idea across, and we watched like a clip that someone put up on of the local news, the local NBC affiliate, whatever, in Philly was covering the fact that there were so many WrestleMania related festivities across the city, conventions, and they've got this woman walking the line before the WWE access
Oh
walks up,
no.
and she goes up to them. "You've been here since 2 a.m., huh? Ready, waiting to get in?" They're from England. He's like, yeah, we've been here the whole time." She goes, "What is wrong with you?" And we played that clip for the assembled crowd at our live show in Philly, and they burst out laughing. We read an old clip from WrestleMania 15, the last time the show was in Philadelphia. Just this columnist in one of the major newspapers in the city just completely lampooning the idea that anybody would come watch this foolishness. I'm sure there's going to be no shortage of revisitations of the great work of New York Post columnist Phil Mushnick, vis-a-vis Hulk Hogan and Vince McMahon over the years. When we arrive in New York, it only makes sense. So yeah, a lot of the work has already been done for us in that regard, but we don't shy away from it. We run towards the shame and the pain, and
Yes, absolutely.
that's how TLF chooses to roll.
Any final thoughts before we get out of here? And Hogan, comedy, upcoming Laps Fan podcast, anything like that? What the people need to know?
Action adventure comedy, brother. Hit us at
Brother, there it is.
thelapsfan@gmail.com if you have any suggestions on how to sate Hulk Hogan appropriately. We have a ton of ideas. We'll do it. We'll do it right. We'll do it appropriately. But this is the biggest one we've ever tried to approach.
It really is. I mean, we and it's it is it, it it's a crazy thing to even think about because we have covered so much of the Hulk Hogan ground, and even on our spin-off show Under the Cinemat, where I look at movies with wrestlers, we have done the entire Hulk Hogan. Although, actually,
Unbelievable.
you got me thinking. We've done
Brother.
more or less Cinemat style the Hulk Hogan catalog, but there's still one that we may revisit as a, maybe a little bit of a tribute
Okay,
to Hulk
okay.
Hogan.
We
But
watched every single Hulk Hogan movie, even
we've
the ones
watched,
post WCW that were just straight to video. Yeah,
yep.
we've
Just
felt it all.
we've the whole thing, and we've gone in depth in the entire catalog of Hulk Hogan's. So and then the TNA run. It's like, you know, there are so many aspects of Hulk Hogan that we've covered, but you know, I definitely think that there's always more. There's always
There's
more
more
to
to be said.
uncover. Yeah.
Somehow, some way, there's more to be said. That's the last thing I'll say about Hulk Hogan. There's always more to be said.
There certainly is. And be more to be said on Sunday, August 3rd. So if you're in New York City for SummerSlam weekend, even if you're not, you just need something to do. Head out for Sunday afternoon at noontime. Spend a couple hours with the guys, laugh your asses off, and then you know, go back to your lives and look at yourself as in the mirror. You know, I think that's the best way to do it. Jack and JP from Laughs Fan, thank you so much for stopping by and talking about Hulk Hogan, talking about the comedy show and having some laughs on this day. Thank you very much, fellas. Appreciate it.
Thanks as always, man.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
it.